to yet another episode of Studio 7, an audio and visual podcast that gives you inside scoop on our guests and modern day lifestyle. My name is Hassan Khalid.
Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Abdullah, and welcome to yet another episode of Studio 7. Me and Hassan try our best to include all the social issues that have been in Pakistan and our mainstream media is covering it. So we are trying our best to get all these social issues in our episode. So it's been a very tiring week. What do you say, Hassan?
Absolutely. Please show your support on our media outlets. We are actually working really hard to bring up these episodes. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, guys. So moving on. Today, we have a very special guest from Peshawar KPK. She's an amazing lady and amazing personality. She's been working for welfare of animals for quite some time. And if you're an animal lover, of course, you know her already. Her name is Zeba Masood. So let's talk to her and to see how she's been doing.
Assalamu alaikum. And, thank you for having me on this forum. And my name is Zeba Masood, and I am the founder of Labs KPK, the one and only shelter right now in the KP province. And, we are working very hard in creating awareness where animals are concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so ma'am, you mentioned about Labs. So could you actually give us a history about how it actually happened? Like, could you also tell us more about yourself, like your education and how you started all of this?
Well, yes, I actually, I grew up in Karachi, and, after that, I got married and I went to the US. And then I used to visit over the time of the last 30 years, coming and spending time with my parents. And I couldn't do much, but I could see that there were a lot of strays roaming around. So at that time, I never had the time to do anything, but I've just recently come back here because my parents, I wanted to spend more time with them. My mother is not well. She's got Alzheimer's, and I wanted to be with her. So since I was here and I was staying here, and I said, after seeing the situation so pathetic, I decided that, we need to take this initiative and start something. So we started with Lucky. He was one of our first dogs that we saw. And, from Lucky, it just kept growing. I was lucky that, my father's college, there was a little space. So I begged my father that please let me use this space. And I want to start with these few dogs. So he allowed me to do that. And from there, other animal lovers also started coming and helping us, and then slowly we grew from one dog, two to five, 10, and now we have almost 100 plus animals in our shelter.
How much?
Okay, ma'am. Did you approach any government agencies to look out for such issues of animals being taken away with their rights of living and being assaulted at?
We have met a few officials and we have tried to reach out to them. We haven't been very successful, but we are just doing what we are doing on our own, and we're trying to make the best of it, with the help of a lot of family and friends. We are trying to spay, neuter, vaccinate as many as possible. Like all our 100 plus animals, mostly dogs, are all spayed, neutered, or vaccinated. So, and we've started a program on our own where we are, catching dogs from the street with the help of our friends. And we are spaying them, neutering them, and we are releasing them. So, in fact, we are just going to be releasing our third dog, known as Julie. We had a Jenny that we released a few weeks ago. So now we're going to release Julie soon, next week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. And we're going to keep on continuing doing this and trying to create this awareness that we have to spay, neuter, and vaccinate and release them. Because culling them, killing them, shooting them, poisoning them just does not work. They just keep on reproducing every 6 months, and we cannot put a stop to it, you know. So the only merciful way of taking care of the situation is by spaying, neutering, sterilizing, if you call it, and of course, vaccinating for the protection of the human.
Okay, ma'am. So I've been actually following you for quite time. I guess 2 years from now, I was in Peshawar, and actually, I wanted to adopt a pet. So I actually looked up. So I found yours, Lucky Animal Protector. So first of all, I was really attracted by the name, Lucky Animal Protector, because it's a very beautiful play of words, a lucky animal, and lucky being the name of the animal who was actually rescued by you. So it's really creative of you to actually have and give names to each and every animals. But could you tell us about the struggles? Because Peshawar is a really conservative area, not really conservative, but still we have this mindset regarding these animal brutality and hostility towards stray animals, especially dogs, because there is something related to religion that people and mobs brought bring to the argument. So did you face any sort of hostility while working in Peshawar and any such incident?
Well, to answer your first question, yes, we named Lucky because we thought he was lucky that we, saved him or adopted him. And so we started that way. And yes, we have had a lot of issues on the way since the last three years, where people have harassed us and looked down upon us and told us, why would you do something like this? And why with dogs? And why with animals? And why not help the poor? And why wouldn't you help the poor? And why are you doing it for the animals? So basically, we feel that, they are voiceless and they cannot ask for help. And they are mistreated so badly. You know, it's just horrible. And the pathetic conditions that these animals are in. And I don't see how we, this country, I'm actually ashamed to say that our nation is so cruel. The people are so cruel to the animals, and we have to change this mindset. Absolutely. So we've been harassed. We've been physically attacked. We have stones thrown, bricks thrown. We've even had bullets land in our shelter. So we've actually gone through a lot, in fact, to the extent that we have to now move. We are moving because the village that we are in, the people have created such an issue that we have to move. So we are moving to a bigger and a better place and hopefully a more peaceful place where our animals are happy and away from all these cruel people, So, yes, it is a very conservative place, and the mindset is so different because they say it's now park and it's police and but that's basically because people are illiterate, they're not educated. Mm-hmm. So how do you change that, so it's really absolutely. It's difficult because the government needs to get involved where this is concerned. Of course there are other Muslim countries, take Turkey for example. Uh-huh. They've done a wonderful job, They, absolutely. I believe they were in this situation a few years ago, but they have changed it around. They've made it better. They've educated their people. Now they're taking care of all the animals. Everybody feeds them, touches them, welcomes them in their shop, in the malls. They go out absolutely. Of their way to take care of them. There are cats that pray next to you in mosques, things like that. So exactly. We have to change the mindset of the people, but we have, we have a lot of poverty. We have a lot of overpopulation of people. So there has to be something from the government side where they go out to teach that segment of society that they have to learn to be kind and compassionate towards the animals. But I feel that if you don't teach your children to be kind to animals, they cannot be kind to humans. They have to first learn to be kind to animals.
Exactly.
You know, but if you're going to teach your child, oh, it's a dog, shoot it or hit it with a stone, what will that child grow up with thinking, oh, okay, I can be cruel and mistreat children, and then I can be cruel and mistreat humans. You know what I mean? So
we
have to change things. It will take time, slowly but steadily. I think we, being the first one in KPK, you know, we've I think made a slight difference, if not big, like a drop in the ocean. But there was no concept of vaccinations, no concept of spaying, neutering. People had not even heard about it, you know. But now they do, and we have changed a lot of people's minds. And they bring animals to us, and they say, yes, we want to. We don't want any more kittens. We do not want any more puppies, you know. So, and even where the poor people are concerned, that they see how much love and how much kindness and compassion we are showing to the animals. For instance, take the example of our horse. We have a 20-year-old horse. Wow. Her name is Stella. And, you know, we bought her off from this man who mistreated her and used her so much that her legs are almost finished. And she had the deepest wounds in her body, which she was just covering up.
Wow.
So people would say that, oh, why are you keeping this horse? You know, she's old. Mm-hmm. So I said, exactly. You know, I'm keeping her because I want that the rest of her life she should be just, you know, in peace and in comfort. And if we can give her whatever she wants where food is concerned. So all she does is just graze the whole day, you know, and just... Mm-hmm. And to lead the little bit of life that she has in peace, you know? So
absolutely.
It's difficult for people to understand that why would we waste so much money or waste so much time or effort? So, but they're trying to understand, you know, it's difficult. They still question it, but I think we've made a difference.
Absolutely.
Creating awareness, which is.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. You have created awareness. So I had this question, we're fed this at a young age, us as children, we're fed that dogs are dangerous and you shouldn't be going close to them. However, as I've grown up and learned, it's the utmost opposite. I don't see dogs as dangerous. It depends on how you tackle with them. And that's not only in case of dogs, that's basically a thing common with almost every animal. So you talked about awareness. How do you, since the government isn't doing much about awareness, how do you plan of bringing awareness through your platform of labs?
Well, to answer your other question, I basically feel that our older generations basically have failed us in this country. Very badly, I feel, whether it's your parents, grandparents, they have, you know, they could have made a big difference and they didn't. The first thing you hear is that, oh, don't bring the dog in the house. Don't bring the cat in the house. Keep it away. It's dirty. All our grandparents and all that I hear from the kids nowadays is, oh, my parents won't allow me to bring a dog in. My parents won't allow me to get a cat. And it's very sad. You know, so many of these kids say, oh, we would love to come and adopt the dogs from you, but our parents won't allow. So I am very, very disappointed in the older generation. They have failed the children miserably. So other than that, yes, actually, we could use a lot of help from the government. But,
absolutely.
You know, right now, I don't know where they stand. Hopefully, maybe we can make them realize that this is something that they need to do, and we are working towards that, trying to make that awareness even where they are concerned, that please do something, you know. But other than that, we will keep doing what we are doing as labs. We will keep we are actually very much into this TNR PrEP, neuter, release, PrEP, neuter, vaccinate, and release program. Mm-hmm. So we will keep doing that. So we're going to be working on batches in different areas where we'll take 50-50 dogs and start working on them and spaying, neutering them, vaccinating them, and releasing them. And we have the support of all the animal lovers, you know, mm-hmm. and there are actually, you'll be surprised, a lot of animal lovers who do support labs in KPK amongst the Pashtun diaspora. We do have support. We do Absolutely. Have support from overseas, but we do have a lot of support locally, which is mm-hmm. great. And that's what I want to reach out to. And I wanted to do this podcast with you because we need to reach out to the younger generation that you guys need to step up and change things for the future, Absolutely. For yourself,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So and to make it a cleaner place to live in, safer. And so that's something that you, the younger generation, has to do. So, yeah. You know, it has a lot to do with what you young people decide.
Yes. And talking about the awareness, I remember you have these campaigns where you brought in school children from Peshawar government schools and private schools to actually visit the shelter. And, you know, I remember your post, you were actually teaching them how to love and be kind. And normally children at the young age have really tendency, this tendency to actually love animals because they are really like koi bhi animal aaje to like kids are the first one to actually, you know, go and reach out to those beshak wo ghar mein agar aapke chickens ho aap logo ne matlab cats rakhe hain matlab jo younger unme lekin jab hum unko ek pressurize karke ek mindset unka develop kar dete hain towards hostility. That's really a big problem since main khud ek animal lover hun, I would say. Lekin, moving on toward this animal lover side, iski ek aur Pakistan mein bahut ek other side hai jo pets log khareed dete hain aur baad mein unko like isi tarah road to streets mein phenk dete. So what do you think is mindset ka matlab what do we need as a society ke hum log in cheezon ko yet bhi advocate ke animal rights hone chahiye, we buy expensive pets and basically hum unko throw dete.
Yes, I have a big issue with that because I feel that they are breeding too many, whether it's Shih Tzus or whether it's German Shepherds and Labs. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have got so many of these breeds that have come and died in our clinic because people don't know how to take care of them.
Absolutely.
They shock me. They look at it, oh, it's a lab, and they bring a puppy. And once mm-hmm. the puppy grows, then they don't know how to handle it. And then they take them to these vets who don't know how to deal with pets, give them multiple injections. God knows, we've seen some really horrible, horrible situations and where these breeds have been abandoned and or are in their last stages and dying and coming to us. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of it has to do with people don't want to spend money on breeds also. They mm-hmm. they get these expensive breeds. They bring them home and it's expensive. I keep telling people, before you get a pet, think about it. It costs mm-hmm. a lot exactly. of money, about food. You know, it's a 15-year exactly. commitment. You know, who's going to take care of it? You know, who's going to clean up the poop and the pee? Who's going to exactly. keep it while you are away from the house or if you're going on a vacation? So all these things have to be considered before you get a pet. Servants, you know, they're not good in keeping animals, they resent too much money being spent. You have to think about these things. You know, you have to make sure the whole family is in agreement when you get a pet, you know, things like that. And then what happens is that most of the time they either just give it to someone or, you know, they abandon it.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is horrible. And then it lands up at our place or, you know, just literally dies or is on the road. It's just not good. And so that's why these, we love breeds. They're beautiful animals. But mm-hmm. Breeding, I'm against breeding myself, actually. You know, I feel that why breed more when exactly. there are already so many out there? Just take, adopt the ones that are already out there, you know?
Exactly.
So,
So that's what I'm saying. They fail to keep take care of the ones that are actually there, and the ones who breed are actually seeking for money, I guess. So you talked about the crisis of vets, and I have personally faced this crisis as not really personally, but one of my procreated the vet quite a few times, and then she eventually died for some reason. How do you plan on countering this crisis of vets that are there, or the fact that even in Pakistan mein to hospitals bhi itne safe nahi hote, yani pata bhi nahi hota ki kaun sa doctor hai kaun sa nahi hai. So how do you plan on countering this variation?
Well, there's nothing much we can do, but I can say that they definitely need to improve the veterinary school. They definitely need to turn out better doctors, because they're not. And we definitely need to improve on that very, very badly, because we don't have a proper hospital. We are a charity non-profit organization, so we don't have that kind of money where we can have an expensive state-of-the-art, I would love that, because I would like to use that just for my shelter animals, because I don't have an X-ray machine, I don't have a scanning machine, I don't have a microscope, all these things that I need so badly for my day-to-day, everyday injured animals that come in. But yeah, there's no proper hospital to go to at all, Yes, you have one or two doctors who have put up fancy, but I don't know about, other than that, there's nothing available. When our animals need emergency treatments, we have to send them to Islamabad. And I feel, why can't we have a proper setup, a proper pet hospital? Because we have to go to Islamabad to either Dr. Rana or we go to Dr. Rana because we've had a good experience with him. So, but they're expensive, mm-hmm. and it would be so much easier for us, because then we have to get transport arranged, and so it's difficult, very difficult. Like I said, first of all, maybe they don't have it because people here don't like to spend money on animals, because they feel that, it's just a dog or a cat. But they don't understand. They have to give them proper vaccinations starting from a few weeks old. And those vaccinations have to be done, every year on time. Those vaccinations, they have spent millions and millions of dollars on research. So there's a reason why they have that vaccine. I have seen so many cats come in and who have died because they never got vaccinations. Now, those vaccinations are especially for these deadly diseases that these dogs and cats have. Dogs have like 6 deadly diseases. Cats have about 3. And these vaccines are meant for that, to save them from those diseases. Just like the rabies is meant to safeguard the humans. Absolutely. People have to be educated more, and it comes to the same thing, creating awareness. So we're trying to do that through social media, trying to create all this awareness, teaching people all the time, please vaccinate, spay your pets. So let's hope for the best, and let's hope we can make a difference.
you also talked about diseases, but there's another factor, environment, like specific breeds are for specific environment. And I've seen lots of breeds that are supposed to be like in winter climate in Pakistan, like in places like Islamabad and Lahore even. So like people really need to be educated about what they are going to get and what they are going to do with them later on.
Yes, yes. I mean, like getting huskies.
Yeah.
In this weather, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, fine, if you keep an air-conditioned room for them where they're there, but how can you keep an animal inside an air-conditioned room? It's not meant to be.
Absolutely.
You know? So the people who can afford it, fine, very few. But even then, I feel it doesn't make sense. You know, why get such an animal that, fine, a lab is okay, or, you know, or a Persians are okay because they're inside the house, you know, and they're small, they're cats. But still, I mean, you know, people get these very big, hairy, you know, huskies.
Yeah.
And things like, even German shepherds, I mean, you know, they have so much. The double coated and the triple coated, and I don't know how they keep them, and that's how they get sick, because they're outside and they get tick fever and they get fleas, and you know, they're not vaccinated, and you know, very few animal lovers are actually conscious about all these vaccinations, and you know, going to the vets and checking them up, you know, stuff like that. So there are very few people, very few animal lovers.
Okay, just a few months back, not really a month, I guess it's almost been a year, there was this crisis in Karachi, many people were being bitten by stray dogs. Up here, the local government had this campaign going on where they actually, you know, shot dead animals and, you know, gave them some sort of poison. And there was a huge pile of dogs that were killed, and that was just insane. So how do you see that as a, I mean, if you see it through their mind, it is a threat, but the way they've killed them isn't an option. So how do you see this?
Well, you know, frankly speaking, I would say that they didn't take care of this situation years ago. They should have, you know, started this trap TNR, you know, program long time ago, like I'm saying 20, 30, 40 years ago. They would not have reached this crisis point where there are so many that they don't know what to do with it. I'll tell you that when I went to the US, which was almost 40 years ago, and I used to see on television that all they would keep telling you is, please spay and neuter your pets. Please spay and neuter your pets. So it's been almost 40 years, and I believe that statistics say that there are less animals at the shelters in the U.S. now because people have, you know, because of the awareness, spayed and neutered their animals. And so there are less animals that are abandoned or are in the shelters. So I feel that, you know, this is where the government also has failed us, in the sense that they should have taken measures and steps where they should have told their vets that are involved in the governments that please do something, you know, and pay and neuter them, or don't kill them, or create awareness, something they should have done much, much before, so that we wouldn't have this epidemic or overpopulation of animals. So now the thing is that there's so many, every corner you turn, there's 10, 15 dogs in every corner. Like even where I live here in University Town in Chavez, you can't go for a walk because you will come upon so many dogs in the evening, you know. And it's scary because, yes, you have to be careful because they can come and bite you and they are not vaccinated. So what do you do? It's, you know, it's a difficult situation. And I can understand why people say that, oh, kill them, which is wrong. They shouldn't. That's not the answer, you know. But yes, they need to be caught. They need to be paid. They need to be neutered. They need to be vaccinated. And people need to be more friendly towards them and feed them, you know. So we're trying to do that. We are trying to reach out to people that, you know, you like, we got a call from one of the universities, and they told us that we have a lot of dogs and we cannot go out with our families. And how can you help us? And so we said, well, first of all, you need to learn to live with them. You know, they are also a part of this world, and they have every right to be there. So So I said that we told them the best thing to do is that let's pay, neuter, vaccinate them. So at least they're safe for your children and for you guys, adults. And even the animals will be happy, you know, and you guys can feed them whatever you can outside. So that's the way. Why can't we do it? Why, if Turkey can do it, if Malaysia and all these other countries can do it, why can't we do it? You know, I mean, every dog is neutered and spayed and tagged in Turkey, and they're on the roads everywhere, and people just go and feed them. They have special stations where people can put money, or they can put pick up plastic bottles and put it, and there'll be dry food coming out of it for the dogs, or they have water available for them. And you know, so we have to teach our citizens and our people that we have to learn to be kind and compassionate, you know. That's they're also God's creation, and they have every right to be here too.
Yes.
Just like so many other things, you know.
Yeah, like as a human being, we have this duty to actually look after these animals, because as you said, they don't have a voice and they cannot express themselves. So for labs, what is that roadmap? Like, what's the future of that? What do you plan to do with it?
We definitely are going to continue with what we're doing and spay and neuter. Our mission is to spay, neuter, vaccinate as many as possible. And to create awareness, we even help schools amongst the poor communities by, you know, helping them by buying chairs and carpets and things, so that we can reach out to them and teach them also about animals and kindness and you know, and there has to be a way where we have to reach out to this to the lower middle class, which has a very difficult understanding of this, of why the animals are there and that they should be, you know, gotten rid of. So there has to be some method of teaching them kindness and compassion, maybe through the madrasas, or, you know, there has to be some ways we have to come up with. But
it should be it should be a part of the curriculum to, you know, at least know how to, you know, be coping with animals.
Yes, exactly. Learning how to live with them and being kind to them. Whereas we are concerned at lab, we are going to continue, like I said, what we are doing. And our mission is, of course, to pay, neuter, vaccinate, and educate and create awareness as much as possible.
Absolutely. What you're doing is truly amazing. So I've had this idea for the longest time in my mind. It's just, you know, a random idea. Before someone is actually buying a pet, they should be given a list of guidelines or the way they should be, you know. They should be, you know, looking after them. It should be a comprehensive booklet to be given to them so that they actually know what to do.
Yes. When people say, oh, we want to come and adopt, so we tell them that, look, we have a screening process. We need you to come and meet us. We need to see and meet you. We need your CNIC. We need your home address. You know, we need to come and check your home. If you're okay with random check once in a while when we come to pick up, check on our dolls. It's a 15-year commitment. Are you sure? Is your family ready? You know, is it going to be inside? Is it going to be outside? You know? Are you going to vaccinate it, spay it, neuter it, whatever? When they take it from us, they're already taken care of that way. So it's kind of scares people and they never come. We have a very low adoption rate.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to give my stray dogs to people who are going to, and especially where puppies are concerned, I am so against people coming because they want it for their children to just play around. And then as soon as they're done with it, they come and bring them back to us. So I am so against that.
Exactly.
And so we are very strict with adoptions. Very strict.
Absolutely.
So we make it quite clear.
Yeah, you may carry on. We're just running out of time. So I thought one ending note from you.
Ending note is that, you know, I would love to reach out to the younger people that we need volunteers please come and help us. We need a lot of help with these animals. Help us get them adopted. Come and help us at the shelters. You know, our dogs need a lot of love, you know, and we need a lot of help with, you know, and only you young people can do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, spread the message that we need help. And if we can get as many donations as possible, because we live on donations, whatever, the everything from the food to paying the employees, you know, leasing the land, or, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. So, and we need the community's help, you know, and maybe together we can take care of neighborhoods, make them safer, you know, for the animal and for the humans.
For sure. That is all for today's podcast. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. So we will end this right here. Please don't forget to subscribe our YouTube channel, as well as our podcast channels on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and also other podcast listening apps. This is all from my side. This is Hassan Khalid signing off from CUSA.
Yeah, thank you guys, and more power to Ma'am Ziva and all the management team in labs who are supporting the cause for this program that Ma'am talked about. So Ma'am, thank you so much for being with us and talking to our young audience. And it was an absolute pleasure talking to you, and an honor for our podcast to have people, amazing people like you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, you can support Ma'am Ziva in her cause through donations, and we will be linking down all the donation details. If you're an international listener, you can easily donate from PayPal and GoFundMe. And if you're here in Pakistan, you can easily donate through EasyPaisa, Jazz Cash, and even Bank Transfer. They are about to relocate and say they would really need your donations at this particular time. So please donate for this cause. And yeah, protect the animals and strays near you. Put a bowl of water outside so they can quench their thirst. It's really humid out here in Pakistan these days, and it will just help you be a more humble and wise person. So that's all from my side. Take care.